good singing.
Amen. A lady right there is my hero.
Yes.
She takes a lot of, does a lot of things just to keep things going in her home. Amen. Take your Bible tonight, please, and go to Ecclesiastes with me. I'm going to preach fast. You listen fast and get out of here fast. That's a good idea. Hope you all, after the service, go over building number 2. We're having Mexican tonight. And that's always good. Amen. Let's stand and read God's Word tonight. Ecclesiastes 10. Beginning of verse 1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in a reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but the fool's heart is at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. If the spirit of a ruler rises up against thee, leave not thy place. And this morning I said to you that also can we understand a place. It's a military, like a military post. It's like a governmental job. You have a certain place, area that you have been posted at. That's your place to do your job. And if somebody wicked comes, don't leave your post. Don't leave your place. Stay there. Daniel, 4 Kings, stayed there. Just stayed there. Just stayed there. On and on. If the spirit of the ruler rises up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. They're happy about that. They're glad you leave. You are a pain to them. You're a thorn in the flesh because you stand for that which is right. A lot of guys will go to work and put their Bible on their desk, and oh man, people don't like that. They don't like that a bit. But they can have all their filthy magazines and everything else there. You know, they don't like us talking about Jesus Christ, but they use my precious Savior's name every other word. They sure are messed up, aren't they? There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich set in low places. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. I like that. I like that. A prince is willing to walk. He doesn't have to do, he doesn't have to be always bowed to. He just gets the job done. Amen. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso move a stone shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be in danger thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profited to direct. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight as we look into the Word of God. Thank you for the folks that are here tonight. I pray, God, you'd bless them. Thank you for loving us, caring for us. Thank you for this sweet little family that sang to us. Would you look after and care for them? Lord, there's a lot of things go on there every day and a lot of need of help. I pray, God, you'd just bless them and look after and care for them. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning we were speaking about Ecclesiastes, and the question we brought out is it any good to keep living? You know, just is life really worth living? And there's a lot of that's a lot of that going around today. You'll hear people say, I don't know if it's worth living or not. I'll hear Christians say, I don't know if living for God really means it. I don't know if I ought to take my stand like I used to. You know, this church over here has got better music. They don't got better music. They got country and western music. They got rock and roll music. How in the world can you equate rock and roll and country and western with godly, Christ-exalting music? Explain that to me. If you want that, go down to the JT Bar. Go down to someplace else and get your fill of it on Saturday night, and then come forward on Sunday morning and get right with God. Amen. Don't go there in the first place, I would say. But I hear this question all the time. Is life really worth living? In fact, Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. In fact, the whole book deals, as he discusses this problem with people, is life worth living? Why should I do this? Why should I do that? Why should I act like this? Why should I act like that? Why not just live like I want to live? Well, the Bible says that a man, he's right in his own eyes. Everybody's right in their own eyes. If he didn't think he was right in his own eyes, he'd change it. Everybody's right in his own eyes. But here's where we get the truth for the right. Here's where we get what we should be doing and how we should be acting, how we should speak and how we ought to live and how we ought to dress. That's the biblical principles in the Word of God. And you've got to know the Word of God. You've got to go to God about it. So is life really worth living? Yes. Finally, Solomon goes through all these chapters, and then he goes back and rethinks. And he thinks about the different things. He talks about the problem. He says, is life really worth living? The question Solomon's debating. He says, is man the cog on the big wheel? Literally, does everything gyrate around him? Is he the pinpoint of the universe? And we can all say no, though we do think that a lot. We believe that everything revolves about us. We are the most important thing that God ever made. Amen. But get on the internet and look at the Hubble telescope and look at these magnificent images that crazy machine that they slingshotted up out of the atmosphere here. And there's places that are visual today that has never been visual to by anyone except God. And the most magnificent, most beauty and magnificent things that you can even imagine just reminds us the universe is God's, and he made it for himself, made it to enjoy. He's just letting us. You ever go to a baseball game and didn't have the money to get in, so you look through the knothole? You see a little bit of the game, and it's okay. It's not like sitting in the bleachers. It's nothing like sitting behind home plate. It's nothing like sitting behind the dugout, but at least you get to see some. And so God has allowed us in this new technology that we have today to see some of the things that God has enjoyed. You know, the Bible, reading some of NASA's information. They were said, these things are exploding all the time. I said, yeah, that's me, man. I like fireworks. I like seeing it explode. God said, I made you in my image, in my likeness. So why shouldn't we like to see things explode? Amen. Beautiful colors and all that thing. All the things that God gives us. So man thinks that he is the big cog of the wheel, and if he's not there, things are not going to move. But Solomon said, everything in nature continues, century after century. But man, we are only here for a brief time, then we die. It seems so meaningless. It's vanity, Solomon said. Since life is so short and man is so insignificant, why bother to live at all? Sun comes up, sun goes down. Wind blows from the north, then it blows from the south, and it circles. Rivers run into the sea, and the oceans never overflow. Year after year after year after year. I think of my great-grandfather who moved from Switzerland into the Ohio Valley, up into Michigan, and homesteaded up there and went in there and cut down those great big white pine. Took those old horses and pulled those old stumps out so they could have a place to grow their grain. He died. He was one of the most phenomenal bear hunters in Michigan. There's books about him. But he died. The Methodist church that they attended when they first got there, that was the only church they had. The Methodist preacher was a serpent rider, and they'd ride into town and they'd stay there, and what they'd do is they would keep him in their homes. My great-grandfather said, "That's foolish. Let's build the preacher a house so we'll have our own pastor." And the people of the congregation, "That's a great idea." And so my great-grandfather asked him who could help him. Well, I said, "We don't have any money." My great-grandfather John said, "I'll tell you what. We'll build that house that I have to pay for it myself." Guess who paid for the house? My great-granddad. Built the Methodist. By the way, when I was a kid, I saw that Methodist parsonage burn down. I saw my great-granddad parsonage burn down. The preacher, it was cold, and the preacher got underneath there with a blowtorch and heating up the pipes and gone. So there's no more. But I can remember it. It's gone. That's where life is. Some of you have lost your dad or your mama and have gone to heaven. Boy, you thought they'd always be there. They're gone. So we have the ocean never filled. We have the sun never quitting. We have the cycle of life continue on. So why should we go on? Solomon, the wisest man, when he tried to understand the meaning of life, he was baffled. Is it reasonable to live when you cannot understand life that's all about? Man's pleasures do not satisfy. I tell God every once in a while, I said, "Dear God, the water of this old world that gives me, it does not satisfy me. Only you are the living water, and you satisfy me." Solomon had plenty of money. In fact, it is said that he was the richest of all. Solomon understood pleasures and cultures and fame. And he admitted that these things did not satisfy him. He said they're vanity or they're vain, they're worthless. And he said they don't last. In Luke chapter 12, the Lord Jesus Christ kind of speaks on that. Luke chapter 12, verse 13, if you'd like to turn your Bible there. "And one of the company said unto him, 'Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me.' And he said unto him, 'Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?' And he said unto them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not,'" listen now, "man's life," you ought to write this, you ought to underline this in your Bible, "a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he possesses." Well, if I could just have that. Oh, if I could just have that. We had a guy when I first started pastoring, and he got everything new. Everything came down the pike, he gained new. Well, snowmobiles were really getting going. And he said, I'm going to give me a new snowmobile. He bought him a new snowmobile. Then after a while, the snowmobile broke. And he just set it in the shed. No, you got something, you fix it. He just, but he couldn't keep up with all the stuff that he had. Then Jesus Christ speaks his parable on them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, now Jesus is telling this story. It's a heavenly story with an earthly meaning. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's what a parable is. Earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In any parable you ever have, Jesus never used a personal name on it. He always said he or she or whatever. Never their name. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. I was pastoring a little church in Delaware, Minnesota. And we're just married. We just bought a new freezer. And my father taught me that if you go hunting, that meat that you harvest is very precious. And he taught me how to butcher and taught me how to pack and freeze. And my mom helped me with that too. And my freezer was full of fish. And a fan of my church said, preacher, we are going to kill some chickens. You want some? In my computer-like brain, I'm thinking, chickens that are frozen, plucked, and clean. I mean, that's what we think, right? Preacher, we'll be coming over to them chickens for you. I said, man, praise the Lord, bring them over. Monday afternoon, here he came with a gunny sack. And in that gunny sack, they were going, bah, 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 bah. You got to remember now, I am a what? Farm boy. When I was a little boy, my mom would tell me, go get her a couple of chickens. I'd go out there and wring their neck, amen, and take a hatchet and chop the head off, and I really used to have fun, but I'd chop the head off and let them go, and they'd flop around there, around, you know, and spray blood all over the place. My mama caught me doing that. Sheldon, Claire Shear, you're going to bruise that meat. Don't do that. So after that, I cut the head off and just went by the chicken coop and sprayed my name on the, but anyway, sorry, I just, you know, when you're the only boy in the family, you gotta do stuff, you know. So here comes the chicken. Now, you all know that my wife's a city slicker. I'm as country as they come. She's as city as they come. Sheldon, what are you going to do with those? I said, I'm going to kill them. You going to what? I don't want to kill them. I'm going to say, we're going to clean them. I've done it lots of time when I was a little boy. And so we got about 15 chickens that day, which my wife was amazed. And we had chickens in the freezer. And then we lived in the Jolly Green Giant area. And a family gave us a 25-gallon bucket of green peas that were already shucked. All you had to do, they were already harvested. All we had to do is blanch them and freeze them, amen. Y'all know about that, right? And so we did that. The freezer was full. We went to Michigan. Little did I don't know if it was one of my boys or me or whatever, but we bumped the freezer and the plug came out. We were gone for 2 weeks. When I walked in the house, I smelled this funny smell. I'm going to tell you something, brother. I got a great nose. I can smell. You're a smoker or a drinker, I can tell you a mile away. And I don't care how much Listerine and all that other stuff you eat, I can tell you've been smoking. Yeah, I can. Feel sorry for you. That's a terrible habit. It's hard to get rid of. I love you. You want to die that way? Go ahead. But anyway, I thought we were all ready for the winter. And we had to throw all that in that great big freezer, had to throw it all out. You see, I did the same thing as this guy did. He said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. In this scripture, it doesn't say that we're supposed to provide for our family. It doesn't say that we're not going to supposed to save up. But when we get so proud, I notice some people that are so proud that have so much, they're the ones that never give. They're the ones that never help out somebody that's needing help. Because you know why? They've never needed help. But I'll tell you, the best people at Heritage Baptist Church, you listen to me, are the people that are dead, rotten, broke. And they're the ones that will see somebody that has a need, and they're the ones that are going to come by, and they're the ones that are going to, because they know how it is. A couple of weeks ago, my wife, tonight, we'll do this. We'll go to IGA, and we will walk down the alley with all the deals. It's her exercise night after church. And she gets on the cart, and I get on the cart, and we walk to IGA. And we're getting in there, we're just about ready to pull in, and here's a young couple, really young couple. I know I've told some of you this, but I like this. I want to tell it again, and it kind of illustrates this. There's a young couple that are having a hard time. I see him hand a credit card, and it didn't work. And the lady kind of embarrasses that one didn't work. But she said, try this one. She ran that thing and says, didn't it? And I saw it happen. And right in front of me is this lady, very well-dressed. You could tell that she wasn't poor. She just stood there. And she looked like she was very annoyed by this family who was in front of her. And I pulled out of my card. I pulled out my credit card, and I threw my card. I said, here. I said, ma'am, use this. And this is what she said. Are you sure? What do you mean I'm sure? I've been there before. I've taken a card that didn't have anything on it. And so, okay. But I said, ma'am, I said, I would like the receipt. And she says, well, it's for $149. I said, it's okay. And inside of my heart, it jumped a little bit, you know, $149. I don't know about you, but $149 is $149 where I came from. And the kids in front of me that were having the problem, oh, they said, thank you. We can't thank you. I said, it's okay. I said, I've been there before. No problem. And Marcia, she's grinning and she's having a good time over it. She knows what we're doing. Lady, and I said, well, that was very nice of you. I wanted to jack slap her tomorrow and say, well, why don't you do it? Those poor kids would stand there for about 4 minutes, and you could have helped them. And when I was walking out, the lady gave me the slip, and she said, that's very kind of you. And I said, no problem, I'll put that slip on. 2 days later, I'm thinking about this $149. And I, you know, the Lord knows my heart, and I want to help people. I want to do something. What's the word? Random. Huh? Random act of kindness. I do that all the time. I think Jesus would have done that. And so I'm sitting down at my desk. I look at it, and I start to laugh. They had bought a bunch of stuff on food stamps, and all they needed was $1.40. $1.49. And I think the Lord said, son, I know your heart, and you're very good, but I'm going to take care of this for you, and you can only spend tonight $149. Amen. That never has happened before. It's usually like $4.49, you know. But anyway, but hey, you know what? Don't lay up treasures for yourself. That's not the richness towards God. The richness towards God is helping others. Well, he goes on. He says death ends it all. One event, death, happens both to the fool and to the wise, to the rich and to the poor. As a chaplain, I've seen a lot of people die. Called in the hospital the other night, prayed for a man. Next morning, I seen the paper, died. Pretty good guy, rancher, good family. He died. But I also see a man that's poor that has nothing. They die. You know what? They're both dead. No hearse has a U-Haul behind them, unless you're driving through North Dakota, and we saw one. Ruined my illustration. Persons labor all their life. They die. People do nothing all their life and die. My grandfather used to be so obsessed about this. He was a county commissioner for 25 years and in Michigan. And we had a what we call a farm, county farm. Anybody know what a county farm is? County farm was a place that when people got old and they didn't have any money, they'd put them on the county farm. And those old boys, they'd milk the cows and they'd make butter and they'd, you know, the cheese. And all. I mean, they're very, I think that's what we ought to be doing today again. But we got too many stipulations. We'd be sued so bad we couldn't even keep it going, you know. But those people lived, they had apple orchards and all these old guys that knew what they do, but they didn't have the funds to live in their own home or could not take care of themselves. They sent them to the county farm. And they lived like kings. My granddaddy said, good night, they're eating steak and I'm eating bologna. He said they got some of the best cheese, some of the best milk, and he'd just go on and on and on. They'd have asparagus farms and they'd have all kinds of fruits and vegetables. And he said this, he says, you know, I worked hard all my life. In fact, he worked till he was about 80 years old on the farm. Driving tractor, driving car. About ran me and my sister over. Last time I ever drove a car, he was 84 years old, came around the corner, just about hit me and Marilyn. I dove in the ditch with her, amen. We were chasing sheep and ran over sheep. He said, that's it. He cried. I never seen an old man like that. He cried, did you hurt that sheep? Whew, glad enough I was out of the way, amen. I hope he cried that he ran over me. But anyway, he said, it's amazing. He said, I worked all my life. And he said, they live better than I do. But he says, we're both going to die. But he says, they can't take this away from me. I worked hard all my life. There's nothing like working hard all your life. There's nothing like having a good job and working hard and a couple jobs and just tearing it up. There's nothing wrong with that. God said we live by the sweat of our brow. But remember, whether you be rich or you be poor, or whether you've made millions or you owe millions, when you die, you die. And Solomon was looking at this, trying to make head or tail of it. He said, a man labors all his life, he dies. He leaves the wealth to another person. My uncle, Uncle Harley, worked at a big tire company out of Detroit, Michigan. Wealthy, 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 wealthy. But when he died, my daddy got his money. We were never wealthy. But my dad got his money, and my dad was able to invest a few bucks in his 70s that he needed it then. Here's a man who worked all his life, and he died, and somebody else got his money. You say, that's not fair! Life is not fair. The only fair is Montana Fair. And that's coming up. Next four arguments seem to be the grand conclusion. It is not worthwhile for a human being to live. Is it not worthwhile for... Yes, it is. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24 to 26. He tells us that we should accept the blessings of God. Kind of just touched on it a little before I left it. Paul the Apostle agreed with it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. But even this living for today does not completely satisfy because human beings want to go beyond today. God has placed in our heart this thing called the atomic or the eternity clock. And we want to live forever. We were talking this morning and a couple of the sisters back there and said something about it, and she said, "What's wrong with heaven, preacher?" There's nothing wrong with heaven. But I'll be honest with you, I want to stay around as long as I can to harass you people, amen. Thank you for that one laugh. Life does not satisfy because human beings are beyond tomorrow. Solomon backtracks and he says, "So I returned," chapter 4, verse 1, "I saw I returned and considered. Then he says, I returned and I saw the vanity under the sun." He said, "I returned," chapter 9, verse 11, "and saw under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet the bread to the wise, nor yet riches of man understanding, nor yet favor to man's skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all." Look around. Look at the people you've seen die. Dave Wilson, what a swell friend of mine. Yes. I talked to his wife at the funeral, and she says, "You and Dave just hit it off. Now, we're friends. But Dave's in heaven. We'll get to see him again until heaven. My cousin Dwayne buried him last year. His mom, I buried her last year. You know, on and on and on and on. People that, my cousin Clyde's wife just passed last month. Now he says, here's the problem. God has a purpose in our lives. And God wants to balance our life. He balances by birth and by death and by sorrow and by joy and by meeting and by parting. Why does he do this? I think there's two reasons. One, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." I can't explain God's work. Every day is new to me. There's new possibilities every day. There's new challenges every day. There's new adventures every day. Aren't you glad that God said, "There's enough evil in today, you don't need to know the evil tomorrow"? I don't want to know what I got to figure out about that water pump out there. I just really don't want to know about it, but I'm going to find out about it. So tonight, I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to trust God. He's going to send somebody, someplace, from somewhere to say, "Hey, Shear, this is what I would do," and they got a great idea. Secondly, so that we will learn. We'll learn to accept what God brings to us. Quit your griping and complaining what God brings to you. Some of the worst things in your life turn out to be the best things for your life. I promise you that sometimes when there are some people that have some difficult things in life, they will stand and they will cry and their tears will mount up in their eyes so great that you can't even walk around and you have to stop and you stoop and you sloop and you say, "God, I can't handle this, but you're just going to have to take care of it. I didn't ask for it, but I'm willing to take it. And I'm not going to gripe about this. That's the point you've got to get to your life. I talked to my cousin the other day, and she told me about their daughter and how that she had a baby out of wedlock. And she said, she was such a good girl. And we don't understand how it happened. And when it happened, this guy said, I don't know part of that. He said, I just don't understand. She said, it just about drove me to the insane asylum. Killing me! So I must learn His will. And I must accept what comes to my life without screaming and hollering like a little girl or a little boy. I need to enjoy what God gives me and while I have it. Oh, my husband is this or my wife that. Well, then enjoy them while you have them. Have a good time with them. The other night, yesterday I was getting a little stir crazy. Been out in the house all day. And I told Marcia, I said, we're going for a ride. And Marcia said, I just grabbed her hand, pulled her, put in the car. I drove around. Stopped at the mail office and dropped the letter in. Headed up to the hospital and dropped my pager off and my magic fob that gets me through every door and every window of the hospital. And then I came around and went up through the Giant Springs. And I always drive up there and beautiful. I came home. I was okay. Used to do that on my motorcycle. Now to convince my wife to get on the motorcycle or putting her on a little difficult, so I just stay in the car. And it was air conditioned, amen. I know that there is no good of them but for a man to rejoice. That's what Solomon said, chapter 3, verse 12. I know that there is no good in them. You're talking about life. But for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. 3:13, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of God. Hey, he's explaining the thing now. Why should a man want to live? Because while we're on this life, God gives us some great things. Look around you. James, look at your beautiful family. Can't do nothing about that in-law of yours, but look at this beautiful family. Rick, look at how beautiful boy you have. How you ever got that pretty girl? You just wouldn't listen to me. Kept telling you, didn't I? And finally took my advice, amen. Look at this. Look at this group around us. Look at who you're sitting with. And God, and Solomon said, hey, stop, literally, and smell the roses. Enjoy what you have. I don't understand why. You live in Montana. You won't take 3 hours to go up the glacier. It won't take 4 hours to go to Yellowstone. I don't understand some of you people. Well, geez, man, you spend more time in Walmart than take you get up there. I heard this lady said, bury me at Walmart, then all my friends come and see me. Amen. The other day, I got on my bike and my brother-in-law got behind us in the car, and at 11 o'clock we took off, went to the glacier. Went all the way to West Glacier, pulled in, came across, came down East Glacier, come out St. Mary's, and throttled her home, amen. Got home at 9 o'clock. Say, what'd you do? Packed lunch. Packed a lot of things to drink. Giggled and laughed. Some of you are just sitting and watching that stupid TV, or you got this thing called an iPhone or an iYiYi, and you're always reading what everybody else is doing. Man, I wish I was doing that. Well, get out and go! Put the stupid thing down, amen. Solomon said, hey, the reason that you don't have anything to live for is you're not enjoying what you got. You better enjoy what you got, because you may not have what you had to enjoy for a while, after a while. God has set eternity in our hearts. He says the world. You illustrate that by eternity in your heart. This means that the world can never really satisfy us. Therefore, we must find God's will in our lives and let it mix with the ingredients according to His purpose. God give riches according to His will. These chapters discuss meaningful riches. Why is one person rich and another man poor? Is there injustice? Why is there iniquity in this world? Inequality. Because God has plan for all of us. Your plan is not my plan. God's plan is for me. God's plan has plan for you. So enjoy it. Well, I just can't preach at these great meetings. So what? Enjoy your life. Have a good time. I heard one preacher, I'm going to quit preaching. I'm going to be an evangelist. I said, you're an idiot. He said, what? I said, you're an idiot. I said, you're a pastor, and every Sunday morning can be an evangelistic crusade. So everybody in our heart, we always want something more. Hey, if God, I said this to one guy, I said, you know, if God wanted you to be a great evangelist and well known in the world, in 6 months, you could be that. If God wanted to be. Allow God to work in your heart and your life. Teenagers, listen to me. Do right. Do what God tells you to, and He'll give you the blessed time of your life. That we should not trust. God said, don't trust in uncertain riches. I seen a man during the stock market back in the 2000-something when everything dropped. And he had all his portfolio. And he had all his stocks. He had all his money market. And Brother Rick, I know a church that needed to buy a building, and he never even gave to that. And guess what? In one day, he lost more money than it would take to build that whole building by himself. The uncertainty of riches. Oh, man, if I just get some more money. So the lawyers take it when you die? Why don't you give it to God? I tell people all the time, hey, when you're making your will, you make sure in that will you give 10% of everything you have to God's work, to the church. Hey, that's no more than right. Why give it to your stinking kids that are druggies, immoral? I know you ain't going to say amen on that, because I was saying your kids are immoral and druggies, but anyway. Thank you. God's wisdom can guide us through life. The world's wisdom, or wise, uses over 30 times. It is true that man's wisdom cannot fathom God's plan, but God can give us wisdom to know His will, simply because we cannot understand everything. I don't understand all this stuff going on in my life. I think I plan. Last week was the craziest thing in my life. Sister Sherry, you know, she gave us 3.5 years. God bless you, sister. I'll bow and kiss your feet for all you've done for my family. And my family appreciates it. We had to go on. And last week, I had nobody. Well, Sister Donahue comes in on Tuesday. What did I have to do? I forget all the things. You were. I'd come home and she said, did you go see so-and-so? I'd take off again, you know. Then Wednesday, I have this big deal at the hospital. And I called up Mrs. Hobbs and I said, I'm desperate. There ain't nobody. I've called every phone there is. And she said, I'll come over, preacher. Then Thursday, I've got a funeral for a 95-year-old lady that I had her son's funeral a year sooner in August last year. And I could not find anybody. And Tom Williams and his wife, they said, well, we'd like to do that. I don't understand all this stuff. But if you just leave it alone and let God take care of it, he'll take care of it. It's his will. That's, of course, we have to do some things that God wants us to. Solomon emphasized the enjoyment of God's blessing and the reality of death. You're going to die, so get on that motorcycle and ride. You're going to die, so get up there and see the magnificent glacier. Go up to Waterton. Make sure you have your passport so you can come home, amen. Go see your grandkids. Go see your family. Go see your mom and daddy. So, well, we just can't. Why can't you? Is your God poor? I've never heard of God going bankrupt yet. Does God answer prayer? Get out there and take those kids fishing. Take them hunting. Take your wife and get her a new dress. Amen, ladies. Solomon emphasized the enjoyment of God's blessing. Since every person is going to die, we should not bother to work or save money or even serve God. Are you kidding me? No. He said, no. He explained what he meant. He said, listen, Solomon had already decided that man is not the cog of the wheel, that there's nothing wrong by enjoying the riches that God and the pleasure that God has given to us. And that our inability to understand all that God is doing is no hindrance. Thank God we don't have to worry about the problems and things that come in our life. Solomon sums it up, the whole matter, three practical adorations. Number one, live by faith. Live by faith. Chapter 11, 1 through 6. Circumstance never going to be ideal in your life. Listen to me. Live by faith. Circumstances are never going to be ideal in your life. You'll always blow a tire. You'll always run out of gas. You always have some neighbors that doesn't like you. You always have some relatives that'll come to see you that drive you crazy. There's always something in your life that's going to be kittywampus, whatever that means. There's always something going on in my life, always something going on in your life. You may wake up and you got a crick in your neck. You may wake up and you feel something that's not supposed to be there. You have to go to the doctor and the doctor gives you some bad news. Let me tell you something. Circumstances are always there and they're never, for the most part, never good. But we must go ahead and obey God and trust Him for the results. If you wait for the right wind, you will never get in the boat. A month ago, I was with Rudy Smith down in Picton, South Carolina. We were on this huge lake down there. He's got this 22-foot catamaran. Folks, I've never been in a catamaran, all right? He said, Brother Shayara, you need to have your swimming trunks on. I said, why? I'm getting in a boat. No, he said, in the catamaran, you need your swimming trunks on. And he said, here's a life jacket. I said, we're going to be in a ride for our life. We got out in that catamaran, and he said, there ain't no wind. Here's a paddle. I said, I'm going to paddle a sailboat? Are you crazy? Doesn't this thing have a motor? He said, nope. He flings that big old 22-foot sail up there. It looks pretty. Dead. And he said, go! Send us some wind. And he says, all right, Brother Sarah, paddle. We're paddling out there. All of a sudden, I saw these storm clouds coming in the west. And I said, Brother Rudy, we're going to have some wind. I said, Rudy, next time you pray, you tell God how much of wind you want. Amen. We come cutting across. We were 9 miles from the dock. I mean, just... And all of a sudden, that catamaran goes like this. And I'm going like that. And I jumped over to the side, over to his side, and it went, came down. He said, "Brother Shear, you move like a cat." I said, a cat don't like water." And I'm going to ride this thing out. All of a sudden, here comes the lightning and the rain and everything. You know, if we would have waited for the wind, we would have still been on shore. But I'll tell you what, when we got out of that, man, you talk about adventure. You said, you know, my boys and I used to tell my boys, "You ain't scared, you ain't having fun." Boy, old brother Rudy and I were having fun out there, brother. 22-foot aluminum thing saying, "Come here, lightning, strike me." Hey, if you wait for the right wind in your life, it'll probably never come. My grandfather used to tell my dad, "Son, nothing ventured, nothing gained." Some of you guys got jobs that some people have said you never could have that job. But God used that. That's called faith. That's foolishness. It's called faith. You wait for the right day, that day ain't going to come. I've hunted and I've fished on days that good. Not. I remember taking Brother Gibbons, and I went up to Holder Lake. And, boy, halfway got up there, thing just getting black. And I said, he said, "Oh, Brother Shear, I don't know if we ought to go there." I said, "I am not missing on going fishing. Hey, you can sit in the truck, Lauren, but I'm going up to that dam." And we got there, and it started raining. No, it started pouring like I'd never seen in Montana. Well, I got my raincoat. I gave him my raincoat. We climbed up on top. Guess what? When we got up there, the rain stopped. Most beautiful rainbow. I got videos of your husband up there catching great big old trout like that. We're having a time of our life. If we would have waited for a better day, we never caught the fish. There's a lot of you Christians. "Well, I don't know about going out soul winning on Saturday. I don't know if I can make it. I just don't feel good." Listen, you keep waiting for the best day, you'll never come out. You know, preacher, I'd like to teach that Sunday school class, but I just don't know if I'm really sure or not. I might, you know, hey, you know, I really like that bus ministry, but, you know, I don't know if I can take it or not. You know, preacher, I hear that they clean the church, but I don't know if we could do it well enough. You wait for the best day, you'll never find it. There's a lot of people that waited for the best day and they never got it. And the door of opportunity opened to them, and it shut and somebody else walked right in. Amen. You miss your opportunity. You may seem to be a fool like someone who cast bread on moving water, but God will see to it that it comes back to you. Solomon said there in chapter 11, he says, through chapter 12, he says, remember that life will end. Life will end. My cousin said, he says, "If you're still a child at 50, you'll never be an adult." And she looked right at me and smiled. I said, "You got that right. I got my running shoes. I can't run very far, but I got my running shoes on." Man, a guy ought to be out having fun. God has given you the breath to live. Hey, don't wait until you don't have feet to run with. Get out there and do it. Some of you people, you're just stuck in the mud, my mama used to say. You're just stuck in the mud. Get out there and get doing something. Amen. Now listen, this is a morbid suggestion. No, that's a morbid dead bug. Amen. It's a Christian realism. One day, you will die. And we may not get through this week without having your funeral and your casket in front of this church. Don't tell me you got it made. No, you don't. Every breath you take is borrowed. One day you will die. Make sure the most of your life you can have now. Don't waste your life. Get out in that old pickup truck. Get out in that old four-wheeler. Get out in that motorcycle. Get out there in that old car, that old junker that hardly makes it to church. Amen. Hey, we all come and get you if you get break down. Amen. Well, amen. Get out there and do something. My son and I have planned for years to go to the headwaters of Minnesota to canoe. And I've not done that yet. My buddy Harold and I, in fact, he's in California right now on his motorcycle. Harold and I, we went to Oregon a couple years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And in the year that my wife, we were planning to go to Fairbanks, Alaska on our motorcycles. I ain't done that yet. I'm going to do her someday. I want to ride my motorcycle all the way home to Michigan, my home farm, and drive down Shear Road on my motorcycle. I want to do that. You know what? You ought to have some things like that in your life. You ought to have some things that your wife said, you're going to what? You better do some things before you get married, amen, some of you guys. My wife and I, every vacation Bible school. Old Casey and I, we had an old trailer. We'd pull it up the holder, that first BLM place there. We'd park there. We'd fish all day, all night, Mary Ann, brother. My wife said, honey, why are you going up there? Because I said, I won't go fishing. I said, honey, I worked hard at vacation Bible school. I just want a little moment to myself. She said, I come home Wednesday, pack up some more food, come in and preach. And I was out the door and she said, honey, why don't you stay with me? Don't do that to me, woman. I want to stay with you. But this week I'm going to the lake. You ought to have some of that stuff in your spizzeringdom. You ought to have that in your desire and say, yeah, I want to go crazy. I want to do something crazy. Find a trail and walk up that trail. He said, the bears may eat me. Man, what a way to go, amen. That'd be unbearable, though. This is not the worldly attitude. Worldly attitude says you can't make it. The godly attitude is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Enjoy what God has given. My cousin's from Alabama, Birmingham, nuclear physicist, and Gail, she is a kind of a RN scientist. And I took her way back over in Belt through the Highwood Mountains. We saw that great big, six big old elk in a bachelor herd from here to Andy from us. They were so starstruck. They just kept going, wow, wow, wow. Hey, guess what I was doing in the front seat? Wow, wow, wow. Enjoy your life. Can I get that through to your head? God has given you an opportunity to enjoy your life. Paul said, to live is Christ. Die is gain. Get out there and do it. Three key words. Rejoice, remove, and remember. Just rejoice what God's given. Hey, remove. Be okay when you're going back to Jesus. Amen. Rejoice in God's blessing while you're young. Remove from your life the sins that cause sorrow. Remember to serve God and fear Him in the day of your youth. That's what the Bible says. Poetic description of old age. Then you read the rest of that. When the old grinders get, you know, taken care of, you're hot, aren't you? I want to get you this. Fear God and obey Him. Live as those who will one day face the judgment. I'm going to face judgment someday, what I did with my life. I'm going to face judgment how I encourage these young men and these young men in our church. I got to do it. When the fire of God tests my works, they burn up. You'll want to interpret Solomon's conclusion in the light of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The great resurrection chapter of the Bible, if death really ends all, then life is not worth living and everything is truly vanity and emptiness. But it's not. God makes it clear that death is not the end. But Christ arose from the dead and we will raise from the dead and in the glory and be rewarded and enjoy the eternity will depend on the lives that we lived on this earth. Therefore, our labor is not in vain. in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us. Lord, there are so many things in our life that we just kind of hold back. God, don't let us hold back. Lord, give us a nudge. Encourage us, Lord, to do right. Help us to be faithful Christians and rejoice in the blessings of today. Help us to enjoy the glorified Christ, and that we receive those abundant rewards someday in heaven. Oh God, help us not to be pessimistic, but help us to be energetic. Help us to be thrilled to see what you have, and help us to live so as to enjoy God's blessing and glorify His name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight, and you say, "Preacher, I don't know nothing you're talking about tonight. Except one thing, I know I'm going to die, and I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven. And I want to know that for sure." You're here tonight and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I want to be sure I'm saved. I want to be sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you please pray for me?" Would you lift your hand and pray for you? You're here tonight and say, "Preacher, my life's a mess. All I try to do is try to do my way instead of allowing God to have His way in my life. Would you pray that I would allow God to take the reins of my life and do what He wants me to do?" Preacher, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Father, help us tonight as we walk close to you, that we stand close to you, and we would admire the things you've given us. And Lord, may we be happy what you have given us and how that you have dealt in our lives in your providence. Help us be thrilled to the things that you've given us. Not worry about what everybody else has, but to think about the blessings that you've given us. Lord, bless this time. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today. Let's all stand. Everyone standing. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that." Why don't you step out of that seat, walk down this aisle and say, "Tonight, I want to be sure I'm saved. Tonight, I want to be sure I'm on my way to heaven once you come." You're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, you know, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believers Baptism. Why don't you take care of that tonight?" You're here tonight and say, "Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God. This is where God has brought us to, and we want to serve God here. Why don't you come at this time?" Getting you here today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come? Let us help you." You're here tonight and say, "Preacher, you know, I've been battling this thing about baptism down in the water and up out of the water, and I won't take care of that tonight. Why don't you come on?"
Yes, it is hot.
I don't know what help to turn them fans on, but blow a little bit of... We're just about out. This family just came to join our church. We can wait for that, amen. Praise the Lord. I hope that you will enjoy your life that God has given you. Enjoy what God has given to you. Don't waste it. Young Christians, don't waste it on the things of the world that would ruin your body and ruin your testimony. Stand for God. Live for God. Keep yourself pure. Serve the Lord. You may miss out on some of the greatest things in your life if you do some of that stuff. And God say, well, son, sorry, I can't use you in a certain way that I wanted to use you. I'm going to make a new blueprint for you. Boy, if you would have just done this, I could have been a lot of people that have a lot of discouraging moments because of that. All right. This is Natalia, right? But how do you want us? We call you Natalie, okay? And Wilson, and this is her husband Bob, who joined this morning, and she's come to join the church tonight. And this is Hannah, their beautiful little daughter, grown-up daughter, amen. And they've come and want to join our church. They both have trusted Christ as their personal Savior, followed Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism since they were saved. And out of entertain a motion, we assert, I didn't even tell you what we're going to, we're going to give them $1,000 tonight, amen. I entertain a motion, we accept these folks in our membership by profession of faith. Is there a second to that? All right. Comments or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay? Unanimous. Praise the Lord. We're glad to have you. God bless you, amen. Welcome to the church, amen. You folks get to know these folks, and we're just thrilled. Oh, man, I can't wait to get this jacket off. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you won't believe it, but you ought to walk up on top there. It is about 15 degrees hotter up there, but I'm not whining. I'm just praising the Lord. Hey, do enjoy what God has given. Did you get it? Did you get it tonight? Enjoy what God has given you. Okay, some things come to you and you're in trouble, but enjoy it. Enjoy what God's given you. Two things you're going to enjoy in life. The love of your wife. And of course, you remember Ecclesiastes is written for the man. Love of your wife and the food you eat. And that's all you're going to get in life. And I don't care how rich you ever get. And I don't care how poor you ever get. Those are the only two things you'll ever get. So you better enjoy that beautiful wife that God has given to you. Amen. Father, bless this time. Thank you for loving us. Lord, I pray for the food next door. Bless it. Use it to thy honor and thy glory. Help us, Lord, to live for you. And, Lord, bring us back for Wednesday night for choir practice and her service. Then, Lord God, help us as we get all readied up for the 4th of July picnic we're going to have. Lord, help us have a good time in Jesus' name. Amen. Picnic starts at 4 o'clock on Saturday. Is that correct? Yeah.